Crossbreed Holster Studios. 10 years on the air and 10 years on target. This is Armed American Radio.
You know, the right to bear arms is because that's the last form of defense against tyranny.
We're making the Second Amendment great again.
I am a very strong supporter of the Second Amendment.
Educating, informing, and entertaining responsibly armed citizens from coast to coast. Here is your host of Armed American Radio, Mark Walters.
Armed American Radio's Monster Cast in the Crossbreed Holster Studios. This is what we've been waiting for all week long. We plug along every single day in Armed American Radio's Daily Defense Studios, the GunBroker.com studios, on the Car Arms microphone so that we can get right here on the MonsterCast. Another epic lineup today. Alan Gottlieb, AWR Hawkins, Rob Pincus. But I'm going to start off this hour with, if you were paying attention to the daytime program this past week, you heard him. Brad Primo, the founder and CEO of Lead Slingers Whiskey, is with me. His insight is wonderful. Brad, you're going to stay with me for the first half of the hour. Is that okay? How are you, man?
Doing great, and it sounds like a lot of fun. Looking forward to it.
We got a lot to talk about, And before we go to Virginia, let's mix things up a little bit. I don't believe, and you correct me if I'm wrong, I can't remember. I don't believe it was you. I think it was with Dave Workman. In fact, I know it was when I spoke to Dave on the daytime show last week on Friday. We were talking a lot about the Form 4473, but really in conjunction to 11E and the question 11E, and that is, are you an illegal user of marijuana? And then it has a little disclaimer on there, as I'm sure you're familiar with the new 4473. It doesn't matter if your state it gives you a card or makes it legal. It's still a violation of federal law. But there's something else amiss with the Form 4473. If you would, tell listeners what that form is, and then let's take the conversation in the direction of the ATF. Some pretty scary stuff going on, Brad.
Yeah, I mean, so the 4473, is, you know, anybody who's bought a gun from a dealer has had to fill them out. So familiar with them. But, you know, there is a record keeping requirement for the 4473. And when we were talking off air, you know, we bring up the fact that, you know, I think of the movie Red Dawn every time I fill one of those things out, because there's the part where the character, the invading force, tells his troops, go to the gun store, find Form 4473 to find out who the gun owners are. It is, in a way, it functions as a local registration of guns, really. Any, you know, gun stores have to hang out of those things for years. And so if anybody ever wanted to start a national registry for firearms, that's where they're going to start, is the 4473.
Well, that begs this question. How do we know they aren't already?
Yeah, I mean, that's also crossed my mind before. I mean, matter of fact, so being the good American that I am, on Black Friday, the gun shop near my house was running a fantastic sale on stripped AR-15 lowers. And so I went over there to get one, and so I'm filling out the 4473. And that thought crossed my mind. It does every time, which is, you know, I just wonder who all knows or what they're doing with this form after they put it in storage. But it's all electronic now.
Yeah.
The electronic 4473. So there's no telling where it ends up.
We don't have a clue. I mean, we know what we're told, but let's ask this question. Mm-hmm. Honestly, do you believe everything the government tells you? I mean, come on now.
Yeah.
I'm from the government and I'm here to help. We come on. We've had this.
Right.
You know, I would like to believe it, but a real healthy dose of skepticism. Let's be honest here, because if you ask me, the conspiratorial part of my mind says, of course, just like Kennedy. We know what happened. If you believe the Warren Report, man, I'll sell you Chinese land in Texas. OK, come on.
Right.
We know that something's up here. But, you know, you bring up a great point. That Red Dawn movie. I can't tell you. I mean, it's such a classic, right? The original with Patrick Swayze we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
And you go back to that as they're in that little town and they're trying to, you know, rustle up the gun owners, is exactly what's happening. You got that Russian commander who tells the guy, from the files, obtain form 4473 in front of the gun shop. And that,
right.
That, you know, a lot of gun owners, that went over their heads. I'm watching that. I thought, man, I don't remember seeing that before. Must not have been paying attention or reaching for a potato chip or something at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
But that is absolutely 100% true. Your local gun dealer listener has that 4473 on file. And if anybody wants to know who the gun owners are, they can get into that shop however they get into that shop. And that information is right there. But there's something amiss here. Let me read a little bit about this. ATF proposes step to make a national gun registry easier. That's why we're talking about this, listener. It's frightening stuff. The ATF has issued new rules that will alter the format for Form 4473s and make it easier to create a national gun registry. Here's what we know. ATF agents have used annual inspections to electronically, and that's what you were talking about, Brad, record the contents of 4473s being kept by federal gun dealers. We also know that a software company exhibiting its wares at the SHOT Show in Vegas, and I'm familiar with them, has crafted a system where ATF can take the contents of all the dealers' bound book entries by simply capturing them on a thumb drive. And then the story goes on to reference 4473. And I'll quote this, and when we'll talk about it a little bit. We know that billionaire midget Mike Bloomberg, I love that, has made universal background checks / national gun registries the centerpiece of his $2 billion campaign for the presidency, presumably because if everyone with a gun has a 4473, then everyone with a gun will be in the National Gun Registry being compiled by ATF using its copies of 4473s. I'm not one to say that this isn't going on behind our backs. I can only tell you that this is what I know. Does this stuff scare you, and why?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, and that's one thing I think you need to stress, though, is there are gun owners out there. They're well-intentioned, and they think that universal background checks may somehow reduce gun crime, which is already at all-time lows in our country. But they're well-meaning, but they think these universal background checks may be a good place to compromise. But I think that what they're missing is for universal background checks to even be possible, you have to know who has the guns in the first place.
All right, but let's explain why. Let's explain why. There's a lot of people out there, and listeners, you've heard us talk about this before on Armed American Radio over the years, but we have a lot of new listeners, a lot of new stations. Let me explain this. It's worth repeating over and over and over again. Believe me, this bears emphasizing. What Brad just said is the only way for this to be effective, and the Obama administration, by the way, Brad, as you know, knew this and commented on it, that there is no way a universal background check system, which, ladies and gentlemen, means outlawing all private transactions of firearms, which is what they're attempting to do in Virginia. They've already passed it, and the governor is going to sign it. It is 100% ineffective unless the government knows what individuals who don't buy a gun with the 4473, unless the government knows exactly where they are and where that gun is. Otherwise, Brad, there's no way to know that I sold you my gun lawfully today, right now, unless they know where my firearm is, correct?
That's 100% correct. That's exactly what I was getting at, is the only way to make that system work the way they intend for it to is to force registration of all firearms.
So when Mark Levine, Delegate Mark Levine in Virginia, says, we compromised on our HB 961, which is the gun grab bill. We're going to talk about that in greater detail in the next segment. We no longer are requiring registration. It's simply a setup, isn't it? Because that's coming. We know it has to come, or they don't know where the guns are.
Yeah, I mean, there's no, I mean, again, I think that they're playing a shell game, I guess, and being intentionally misleading about what they're doing. So, unless they have passed this law with knowing and intending for it to be completely toothless and just grandstanding, I guess. That's the only other option I can think of. But I don't think that's the case. I think they're gonna force registration one way or the other.
Take a listen to what's frightening on this piece. And by the way, you can read this at AmmoLand. Listen, I put this up on my Twitter feed earlier today. ATF proposed a step to make a national gun registry easier. You can check it out at AAR Mark. I highly recommend you stay engaged on this. Let me let you know a little bit more about this. This is where it gets kind of funny, Brad, and this is what raises my feathers, okay? We know that the ATF is trying now, get this, to put the names of gun owners on the same page of the 4473 as the identifying information of the gun. There's a reason for that, because what we just talked about, they want to photograph it, and if they photograph it, they get it on that same page, right?
Right.
So what the hell does the ATF need my name for?
It's a good question. I mean, that needs to be asked, and we need to demand an answer. I think the weakness of the ATF, or what causes them to have such a poor reputation, is a fact that they just seem to arbitrarily do whatever they want. They don't really answer to anybody, it seems. They reinterpret, they'll put a letter out and reinterpret it 3 or 4 times and effectively change the law by doing so. It's amazing what they're allowed to do. And so we need to stay on them and demand answers. Why are you doing this? And what are your plans? I think they need to be confronted about it, and they need to answer the questions.
We have to pose it to them, and here it is. We'll close out the segment with this. It appears that we have to answer the almost inexplicable question of why ATF is crawling over glass now to reincarnate the format for the 4473, which was junked decades ago. This is, of course, one piece of the National Gun Registry. I'm quoting from the article. Check this out. But given that ATF is required by law to receive comments between now and February 24th, it is worth our time to let them know what they're up, that we know what they're up to. You can check out this at Ammo Land. I gave you the headline, or you can go to my Twitter feed. We'll be back with Brad Primo right after this. I promised you a new year in 2020 on Armed American Radio. Now you get to say hello to Bersa. Born in Argentina and raised by shooters all over the world, Bersa is amazingly accurate, predictable, and reliable. Also, more safety features than you can imagine, with added value in every single trigger pull. It's a gun you'll definitely want to own. Home defense, concealed carry, competition, target shooting. First-time buyer, seasoned gun owner. Whether you want something for your purse or service and security, say hello to Bersa. Bersa.com. BERSA.com.
America was founded through the blood of hard-fighting, hard-drinking men. Men who believed in freedom and whiskey. Who laid down their lives and their fortunes, forging the bedrock of this republic, and in doing so created a new species of man, the American. Lead Slinger's Whiskey was founded by seven combat veterans who were tired of people afraid to support the Second Amendment. Together, they brought their love of American bourbon whiskey to freedom-loving, like-minded Americans. For more information and to read the story of Lead Slinger's Whiskeys and Rum, visit LeadSlingersWhiskey.com today.
Defender Coffee was created by patriots for patriots. It's coffee for Americans devoted to defending the Second Amendment. It's coffee for Americans who understand that if you don't fight for your freedom, you lose it. That's why Defender Coffee donates 100% of profits to gun rights organizations that fight to defend the Second Amendment. When you drink Defender Coffee, every single cup defends your right to keep and bear arms. Visit DefenderCoffee.com today and join the coffee club while you're there. DefenderCoffee.com.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com today.
It's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. I'm Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. When someone says, we don't need that kind of gun, remind them the Founding Fathers determined what rights our Constitution should protect. There's a world of difference between rights and needs. It is not the function of government to tell us what we need or what we don't. Certainly no one needs an assault rifle or a Saturday Night Special, or for that matter, no one needs a Corvette with a high-capacity horsepower engine capable of speeds to 150 miles per hour. But in the hands of honest, responsible individuals, we have the right of choice. We have the right to read books others don't like. We have the right to listen to any radio program we choose. We have the right to dress the way we want to. We also have the right to own firearms of our choice. So the next time someone tells you, you don't need something, tell them it's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. Join the Second Amendment Foundation today so that this message and our Bill of Rights might live. Call 425-454-7012. That's 425-454-7012. 454-7012.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at crossbreedholsters.com.
Celebrating 20 years in business, GunBroker.com is the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammunition, and accessories. With over 1 million auctions daily, you can expect to find a limitless number of top brand names on GunBroker.com. Sellers, you can reach nearly 5 million registered users on GunBroker.com. And buyers, you can buy with confidence knowing GunBroker.com respects your privacy and is the only online marketplace offering buyer's protection. Buy or sell your next firearm on GunBroker.com today.
Oh. Dr. Sebastian Gorka letting you know that the Desperado Sport Fishing Crew in Virginia Beach, Virginia supports Armed American Radio and our right to bear arms. Now, back to Mark Walters.
Armed American Radio's monster broadcast in the Crossbreed Holster Studios. You're back with Mark Walters, filling your prescription for freedom, of course, on hundreds of radio stations across the country. Hope you're enjoying the program so far. We're just getting started. Believe me, we've got a great lineup for you. Right now, I'm talking with Brad Primo, one of seven veterans, the founder and CEO himself of Lead Slingers Whiskey, one of Armed American Radio's great sponsors. We'll talk a little bit about the company in just a moment. Brad, welcome back. During the break, was mentioning that this is pretty scary stuff. Let's go to the bump stocks for a second, because you mentioned the ATF just arbitrarily changing things, which is exactly what they did under Trump's direction, by the way, listener, with the bump stock. They changed the description of a bump stock, which even the ATF under Obama could not do. But they found a way under Trump to do it, and they changed the definition of an inanimate object with no moving parts to a machine gun. Brad, here's where I want your question. That makes it completely plausible that a gun-hating administration listener think any one of the socialists running right now, particularly a Michael Bloomberg. The rest of them aren't smart enough to figure this out unless they're listening to this. So, but we have to talk about it. But Brad, any moving part, if the bump stock is quote unquote a machine gun, that means my semi-automatic firearm, any semi-automatic firearm, is also classified as a machine gun because I can bump fire that gun without a bump stock. And if the bump stock itself is classified as a machine gun, it is absolutely 100% plausible that an anti-gun president would see to it that a semi-automatic firearm was itself reclassified to a fully automatic firearm using the exact same definition they did with a bump stock. You correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, you're 100% correct. And you know, that whole scenario with the president in bump stock, I think, you know, that just, it jumps out at me as probably one of the bigger, probably the biggest blunder he's made when it comes to dealing with firearms and the firearm community. I think it's a huge mistake. I think it opens up a whole can of worms that I don't know. I mean, I hope that they didn't do it on purpose. I don't know if they considered what they were doing when they moved on that, but, you are correct. I mean, it opens a whole Pandora's box, and you know, it's frightening that you have a government agency that effectively has the force of law through their opinions, and it does open the door for somebody like a Michael Bloomberg to come in and essentially weaponize government against people that he doesn't like. We've seen the Democrats do that numerous times just in the last 3 years. They did it under Obama with. You know, if you remember the IRS scandal that kind of went away immediately,
right.
Where they were targeting conservative nonprofits. So these people have, you know, the thing is, like, I hand it to them. They're honest. They don't hide who they are. You know, they've shown us repeatedly what they're willing to do to the people that they don't like, up to and including using the force of government against people. And they'll do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, you know, the whole bump stock thing, Brad, is really, really irked me when we talked about it on the program. I think it brought Angry Mark out a couple of times. Here's why. When they find out that I can bump stock a firearm with my finger in a belt loop, okay, or bump stock, I can bump fire a firearm, a semi-automatic rifle, with my belt loop, for example, or a rubber band. Mm-hmm. There's a number of different ways that we've seen people do it. Hell, you can do it by accident, okay?
Sure.
But the fact of the matter is, that was like, well, it says, well, wait a minute, hold on a second. If my bump stock isn't required, if it's a machine gun because of what it does, and I can do that with a belt loop, it's not the device, it's the gun itself. Hey, we've been misclassifying these semi-automatic handguns forever. These are actually machine guns. So don't think for 2 seconds Bloomberg won't do it. But I'm not going to let the NRA go off the hook here. I've been very critical of it.
Right.
Take a listen to this. This is just the portion of the joint statement issued by the NRA back after Las Vegas, which started this hullabaloo. And here's that part. The NRA believes that devices designed to allow semi-automatic rifles to function like fully automatic rifles should be subject to additional regulations. And I'm just going to leave it at that. It was that statement, excuse me, by the National Rifle Association that gave every anti-gun politician a green light to go after bump stocks, including Trump. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what happened, is it not?
No, it is. That was essentially the NRA giving them cover or permission, especially the president, to go and do something like that. I support the NRA. I'm a life member. I think that at the end of the day, they are for now, the best, best organization we have to wield enough power to get government's attention. But of late, they have been disappointing. And I think that, to be honest with you, I think that things have to change at the NRA, and the membership are the ones that need to change it. There's always this underlying feeling that maybe they're not fully on board with the Black Rifle crowd. And to me, we'll use the, Black Rifle crowd as like we're the gun owners now, I think there's probably more AR-15s in private ownership than hunting rifles right now. And that's the way it ought to be. So it's very disappointing the NRA.
Hold on. Huge statement. Yeah. That's the way it ought to be. Why? I know where you're going with this, but I want listeners to hear this. Why is that the way it ought to be?
Well, the Second Amendment's not about hunting.
Thank you. Thank you.
Plain and simple. Don't get me wrong. It does include hunting, I guess, but like that's not the reason why we have the Second Amendment. And the reason why we have it, and I'll even add this. I got to plug my own state here in Tennessee, which, some state constitutions even go further than the Second Amendment.
That's right.
Tennessee is one of them that virtually guarantees the right of Tennesseans to own military grade weapons. and put the caveat in there, the AR-15 is not a military grade weapon.
Right.
It's not a weapon of war. we can get out in how to try to control the terminology around guns to control the national conversation debate. But, the AR-15 or rifles like it are there for a lot of purposes. The Second Amendment protects them. It's not about hunting. It's about personal defense. It's about being able to defend your property, defend your country. It's for all those things. And so, we don't need to compromise when it comes to that issue right there. There's no compromise.
No, there's no compromise at all. And we're watching Virginia in this remarkable open window that we have into that. We're not going to have enough time to talk about it. We've only got a minute right now. And that's what I love about having you on. So you're going to promise to come back on a regular basis, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's a beautiful thing. Let me just, you mentioned the Second Amendment hunting. Let's close out the segment with this. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed while they are hunting and fishing. I don't remember seeing that in there. Or shall not be infringed as long as you register your gun with the state of Virginia. Or shall not, and I could go on and on and on and on. And essentially what I'm telling you is every gun law is an infringement, is it not?
I think it is. I think what's amazing to me is you watch these politicians and what they're proposing and trying to do, and especially in Virginia, they are going about their business pretending as if there is no such thing as a Second Amendment.
And they're doing it, Brad, they're doing it successfully. I have to stop you there because we're getting ready to take this break. But I want to thank you for opening up Armed American Radio's MonsterCast with me this week. Brad Primo, LeadSlingersWhiskey.com. Make sure to go check them out. They support us. We support them. And I know you do because I get all the emails and the photographs. Keep sending them to me. I love it. And when I get some, I send them off to Brad. I'll be back right after this. Don't go away.
America was founded through the blood of hard-fighting, hard-drinking men. Men who believed in freedom and whiskey. Who laid down their lives and their fortunes, forging the bedrock of this republic, and in doing so created a new species of man, the American. Leadslinger's Whiskey was founded by 7 combat veterans who were tired of people afraid to support the Second Amendment. Together, they brought their love of American bourbon whiskey to freedom-loving, like-minded Americans. For more information and to read the story of Leadslinger's Whiskeys and Rum, visit LeadslingersWhiskey.com today.
The North American Arms 32 NAA Guardian Pistol, designed in partnership with Convor Ammunition. The 32 NAA fires a cartridge based on the 380 case, but necked down to hold the smaller 32 bullet. The result is a remarkable gain in ballistic performance that produces more velocity, energy, and stopping power than any conventional 32 ACP, 380 ACP, or 380 ACP plus P. The 32 NAA from North American Arms. For more information, please visit NorthAmericanArms.com. That's NorthAmericanArms.com.
It's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. I'm Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. When someone says, we don't need that kind of gun, Remind them the Founding Fathers determined what rights our Constitution should protect. There's a world of difference between rights and needs. It is not the function of government to tell us what we need or what we don't. Certainly no one needs an assault rifle or a Saturday Night Special, or for that matter, no one needs a Corvette with a high-capacity horsepower engine capable of speeds to 150 miles per hour. But in the hands of honest, responsible individuals, we have the right of choice. We have the right to read books others don't like. We have the right to listen to any radio program we choose. We have the right to dress the way we want to. We also have the right to own firearms of our choice. So the next time someone tells you, you don't need something, tell them it's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. Join the Second Amendment Foundation today so that this message and our Bill of Rights might live. Call 425-454-7012. That's 425-454-7012.
You've helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today, and now Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, wants to give back to you, my listeners. You can get deep discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the new radio listener specials. Mike heard me talk about his pillows on air and joined us on Armed American Radio. I'm getting a much better night's sleep, and you can get deep discounts on MyPillows, mattresses, toppers, bed sheets, and so much more. For example, right now they're bringing back the buy one, get one offer for the MyPillows. That's right. Buy one MyPillow, get another one absolutely free. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener specials and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the buy one, get one free for the MyPillows. Enter promo code AAR or call 800-978-9358 for these great radio specials.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com today.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you. Welcome back inside Armed American Radio's Crossbreed Holster Studios. With me for the continuation of the Monster Cast, this segment of Armed American Radio is being proudly sponsored by GetSupply.com. The perfect shave is closer than you think. Believe me, I know. Say hello to the last razor you'll ever buy. I did. I'll explain that in just a second. Welcome back to the show. Armed American Radio's Monster Cast in these Crossbreed Holster Studios continues. I told you it was going to be a huge hour. It always is when I've got my next guest on the line, and that's Alan Gottlieb here in hour one. Alan, welcome to the show, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. How you doing, my friend?
Great to be with you from the Valley of the Sun.
You're going to rub that in, aren't you?
Yes, I am. It's just gorgeous here in Arizona. And we were doing this score here for gun rights.
It was. And listener, let me tell you, rub that in. I had anticipated being in Phoenix this weekend and was unable to do that. My travel schedule over the previous month and this weekend just didn't allow me to do it. And Alan, let's talk about what I missed, because I got a barrage of phone calls yesterday that just, I felt absolutely horrible not being there. But from what I understand, there were several thousand people that showed up in Phoenix. You want to tell us what was going on?
Yeah, you know, they expected 400 to 800, and they broke 3,000.
Wow!
And the 3,000 was just—it was just an amazing crowd. And aside from the fact they had all these different vendor booths selling things and food trucks for food, the only hitch really was, because they didn't expect that many people, the only three portable toilets for people to use. We had 3,000 people.
Oh, geez.
That was a little tough, but otherwise, it was an amazing event with a slew of great speakers. It's great because here in Arizona, while there's some anti-gun legislation proposed in the legislature, you know, there aren't the votes there to pass it this year. After the elections might be another story, but right now they couldn't pass it. And so to turn out that many people at the state capitol grounds, you know, was just really great. Good preemptive strike by gun owners in Arizona.
You know, it's really interesting, Alan, because we're talking, listener, about Arizona, which is widely regarded as the number one most gun-friendly state in the country. In fact, if you want to go out to Guns and Ammo magazine, et cetera, they rank it such year after year after year. And, Alan, I think it's been 6 years in a row. Of course, Arizona, very gun-friendly regarding constitutional carry, et cetera. So that begs the question, and I'm going to ask this on behalf of listeners. Why are so many people showing up? Why is a gun rally even necessary in Arizona?
Well, let me give you a couple reasons for that, Mark. First of all, you've got the fact that nationally, every Democratic presidential candidate is trying to outgun the other, so to speak, when it comes to gun prohibition and gun confiscation proposals. And that's making a lot of national headlines. And so gun owners are engaged and active and are very heavily already involved in the 2020 election cycle. There are a lot of candidates there speaking, a lot of incumbents, you know, a lot of people from the Trump campaign. It was a very, very good event because it's being proactive, and that's what gun owners need to do. The second thing is, of course, is that Bloomberg, aside from his presidential race, is targeting a number of states trying to flip their legislatures like he did in Virginia this past year. Arizona is like number one on his hit list, and so he's going to be spending millions of dollars in Arizona in the 2020 elections to try and change the legislature so some of these gun prohibition proposals can pass. And the gun owners know that, see it coming, and are very organized and energized. What was really great about this rally is the key sponsor was Bikers USA, which is a motorcycle group. And it was really great in this rally when they brought 200-300 motorcycles roaring through the rally, to show their support of Second Amendment rights, flying American flags off the motorcycles. It was just beautiful.
Yeah, I bet that was. And you've mentioned a couple things here that require conversation, I think. And the key word, is proactive. So let's talk a little bit about that, because here we have, excuse me, listeners, it's just ending my crud and I'm feeling much better finally. But Alan, proactive is the key here. I've mentioned to listeners over the last several weeks and months, actually, with what we've seen in Virginia in this 2A sanctuary, as you and I discussed previously, Illinois did this a couple years ago. It didn't get 67 or 68 counties in Illinois declared themselves 2A sanctuaries. It didn't get anywhere near the coverage that Virginia's getting for the reasons we see happening in Virginia. But nonetheless, this proactive response that we're seeing, I can't really call Virginia proactive because it was after the loss in the elections, but it has spawned what we saw in Phoenix. It's an extremely positive sign, I believe, that we're seeing that in a state like Arizona that's so gun-friendly, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it is. Well, and you're also going to see next month a march on the state capitol in Illinois. That's going to have well over 5,000 gun owners attending it, marching on the Capitol, and then going to visit all the legislators. They do it on a Wednesday, and the legislative session is in, and the legislators are on campus, and they're going to be there, you know, knocking on doors and pushing the fact that, you know, enough of this gun control garbage. So gun owners are really getting energized and organized, and I love it. This is just really great. It's much better to be on the offensive and on the attack and stop, you know, shut down the prohibition and, you know, gun ban lobby early on and wait till later when it's too late, like our fellow comrades in Virginia found out.
Boy, didn't they? They found it out. And what we're getting across the country as a result of that, Alan, as you know, is this incredible window of opportunity to see what they want for us and what they have in store for us at the federal level. So that begs another question then. When we saw tens of thousands of people show up in Virginia, we're going to have several thousand show up in Illinois. We just had several thousand in Arizona. Is it making a difference? Are they hearing us? Because we don't, you know, look, they weren't there to listen to gun owners in Virginia. That didn't change one mind, or did it?
I think it doesn't necessarily change any minds, but if you're in a marginal district where you might lose the next election, it gives you cause to stop and think and say, maybe I shouldn't be voting for these gun ban proposals. So it's, you know, there are definitely a few legislators that realize that, you know, hey, this is going to have an impact on me. You know, go back to Virginia for a second. If I'm correct in remembering this right, only a fraction, I think it was a third of the assembly in Virginia was up for reelection. So, you know, you're looking at next year's cycle as well. And so when it flipped, it could flip back if gun owners are really engaged. And a lot of those legislators, you know, running in the 2020 cycle now, or 21 cycle in Virginia, because they do it on odd years, you know, is looking at all these people showing up and saying, do I really want to cast this vote right now? So it has some impact. It's marginal, but what really has the impact is who gets elected to start with.
Yeah, that's you know, really interesting. I've made the prediction on the show, and I'm going to stand by my guns here, pun intended, that I believe Trump, based on what we're seeing in Virginia, and I've got boots on the ground in Virginia. I have a lot of very close friends. I've got family on the ground there in Virginia. I know what's being talked about in neighborhoods and at meetings and at bars and restaurants across the state from people that I know there, and it's very significant. So I believe Donald Trump is going to take Virginia by double digits in the 2020 election here in November as a result of what we're seeing. And I believe because of what we're seeing with the Sanctuary City movement in Virginia, that the Democrats probably know by now that this is their last shot, because I think they're going to flip again, and it's probably going to stay that way for another 2.5 decades. I hope I'm right on that. It's a bold prediction. It's hard to predict politics, but I feel pretty good about that in Virginia. So let's go ahead.
Well, let me just address that for a second.
Please.
I mean, I hope Trump takes Virginia. It's going to be a very tight battle to win it. Double digits, I'll bet you a lunch on that one, because double digits, nobody wins by double digits.
I'll take that bet with you. I'll take that bet with you for fun.
Okay, you got it. Double digits is, you know, if he wins by one vote, I'll be jumping up and down.
Oh, you and I both will. We both will, no doubt about it. We have to have him take Virginia. There's no question about it. So like I said, it might be bold, but I feel pretty good about Virginia.
Let me just talk about Virginia for a second. This is really interesting, because I've been contacted by gun rights activists across the country, many in friendly gun states, that right now are planning on moving to Virginia to help put Virginia back in the gun rights column.
Wow, isn't that great?
So, I mean, that's being really proactive.
That really is being proactive, no question about it. Now, I've only got 1 minute with you in this segment, so I'm going to ask you quickly. Speaking of making predictions, I'm not convinced yet that the assault weapons ban that passed the House is going to make it to Governor Northam's desk. Do you care to give us a prediction either way? What do you think? Is it possible that can be stopped in the Virginia Senate?
I think there's a possibility of stopping it. Some weaker measure, like a registration of so-called assault weapons, may go through. But I think we have a shot at doing it. So gun owners in Virginia need to stay vigilant and stay engaged and keep contacting the legislators, because this war is not over yet.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I'll leave this segment with this listener. Make sure, as Alan said, that you do your 1 hour a day. And if you're in Virginia, make sure you show up at those meetings. Make sure that you make those phone calls. Your participation in this battle is absolutely necessary. We know that there are Democrats in those cities and municipalities that are feeling the heat. We'll be back with Alan Gottlieb right after this. Don't go away.
Celebrating 20 years in business, GunBroker.com is the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammunition, and accessories. With over 1 million auctions daily, you can expect to find a limitless number of top brand names on GunBroker.com. Sellers, you can reach nearly 5 million registered users on GunBroker.com. And buyers, you can buy with confidence knowing GunBroker.com respects your privacy and is the only online marketplace offering buyer's protection. Buy or sell your next firearm on GunBroker.com today.
It's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. I'm Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. When someone says, we don't need that kind of gun, remind them the Founding Fathers determined what rights our Constitution should protect. There's a world of difference between rights and needs. It is not the function of government to tell us what we need or what we don't. Certainly no one needs an assault rifle or a Saturday Night Special, or for that matter, no one needs a Corvette with a high-capacity horsepower engine capable of speeds to 150 miles per hour. But in the hands of honest, responsible individuals, we have the right of choice. We have the right to read books others don't like. We have the right to listen to any radio program we choose. We have the right to dress the way we want to. We also have the right to own firearms of our choice. So the next time someone tells you, you don't need something, tell them it's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. Join the Second Amendment Foundation today so that this message and our Bill of Rights might live. Call 425-454-7012. That's 425-454-7012. 454-7012.
Emerson Knives is the first company completely dedicated to producing knives for self-defense, law enforcement, and military applications. The Emerson CQC-7 is the most influential tactical folder of all time. Carried in places not found on any roadmap, the CQC-7 should be carried whether you're at a movie with your family or kicking in doors in Iraq. The CQC-7 is on duty with a select few who have known the chaos of conflict. For your own CQC-7, visit EmersonKnives.com. That's EmersonKnives.com.
We've all put ourselves in a potentially unsafe situation. Whether it's commuting at an odd hour, parking the car in that badly lit garage, or taking that nighttime run. So let's be real. We're not going to stop doing any of those things. The Taser Pulse Plus is here to help you approach every day with confidence and give you that backup if you ever need it. With an effective safety distance of up to 15 feet, delivering a 30-second cycle of muscular incapacitation, the Pulse Plus now has even more advanced safety features. It connects to the mobile safety app Noonlight to dispatch emergency services as soon as the Pulse Plus is triggered. No fumbling for the phone, no freezing up in fear. Pull the trigger and help is on the way. Protect yourself and your family with a leading brand in less lethal self-defense technology, Taser Self-Defense. Visit buy.taser.com and use the code AAR for 10% off the purchase of a consumer Taser device. That's buy.taser.com with the code AAR for 10% off.
You've helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today, and now Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, wants to give back to you, my listeners. You can get deep discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the new radio listener specials. Mike heard me talk about his pillows on air and joined us on Armed American Radio. I'm getting a much better night's sleep, and you can get deep discounts on MyPillows, mattresses, toppers, bed sheets, and so much more. For example, right now they're bringing back the buy one, get one offer for the MyPillows. That's right. Buy one MyPillow, get another one absolutely free. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener specials and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the buy one, get one free for the MyPillows. Enter promo code AAR or call 800-978-9358 for these great radio specials.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Hi, it's Mike Gallagher wanting to let you know that the crew of the Desperado Sport Fish in Virginia Beach, Virginia, supports Armed American Radio and the Second Amendment, and I'm right there with them. Now back to Mark Walters.
Armed American Radio's Monster Cast in the Crossbreed Holster Studios. Let me give a quick shout out to all of my sponsors, please. You can find them on my website at armedamericanradio.com. One other thing for you, the North American Arms Gun Giveaway is going to be done on the 23rd of this month. That's next weekend. We're giving away. Sadie Sweat from North American Arms is going to join me, and we're going to give two lucky winners to North American Arms. One of them, one of the 22s, one of them is going to come from my very own gun safe for the grand prize winner. Real simple. Visit NorthAmericanArms.com. Scroll down the bottom of the page. Got to work a little bit for it. Get the phone number. Call them. Tell them you heard on Armed American Radio. They're giving away free hats because they are. They put your name down on the list for the gun, and you get a great product from North American Arms sent to you. You'll receive it in about 2 or 3 days, regardless of where you are in the country. Send me a picture of your new hat at armedamericanradio.com. And don't forget all the rest of our fine sponsors. We'll talk about them throughout the program today. Let's go back to Mr. Alan Gottlieb. Alan, the Virginia situation is, there's two things I want to take away from that. It'll probably take the segment with you, but it's important. Number one, we were talking about being proactive. That's such a huge word right now. And I am just, my emotions are elevated when I see gun owners doing what they're doing across the country. We've got Second Amendment sanctuary movements now in various states, including Florida, including New Jersey, Tennessee. I've got one county here in the state of Georgia, Floyd County, that has the signed proclamation already. So it's my belief, and I want your opinion on this, what we saw in Virginia should wake all of us up, no matter how red the state is or appears to be, that we should all begin working on creating Second Amendment sanctuaries across our states to fire that shot across the bow for any future Democrat or administration or anti-gun, whoever it happens to be, that might come down the pike 2, 5, 10 years down the road. Not up in here. We've made it clear well in advance. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, I think that's what we need to do. And let me give you just an update because I'm here in Arizona. Arizona now has four Second Amendment sanctuary counties. But the big news was this week, the Navajo Indian Reservation became a Second Amendment sanctuary. And what's really important about that is Indians on the Navajo Indian Reservation vote 90% for the Democrats.
Wow.
And they just became a Second Amendment sanctuary city. That's going to, that sends a message when you have, you know, basically a Democratic area who votes Democrat overwhelmingly becoming a Second Amendment sanctuary. That's really important. And I think the Navajo Indians now, that's going to go much further here in Arizona. And you see a lot more sanctuary cities and counties spring up in Arizona. And of course, the sanctuary counties in Arizona, those four that are already there, that doesn't include cities like you know, that we have, like our favorite city, Tombstone,
right,
which has been a Second Amendment sanctuary city from day one. They're probably the first place in the whole country that ever did this a few years back.
That's right.
You might want to argue that the sanctuary city-county movement actually started in Arizona, in Tombstone, Arizona. But it's all over the country and just keeps expanding and expanding and expanding. It's absolutely super.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And, you know, that's, listener, that's true. Alan and I spent some time in Tombstone together. And as you know, I spent a lot of time there over the years. But they, in fact, did, by proclamation, and you and I have a copy of that proclamation, declared themselves a Second Amendment city years ago. So hats off to them. You know, that, Alan, what do you, when you just told us, that's interesting, the Navajo Reservation, Democrats, mostly 95%. What do you think is the dynamic in play here? Is it because they're in Arizona? Why would they do that? Just give us an idea.
Well, I think Indians believe in self-defense. They have lots of problems with, you know, high crime on Indian reservations. They've seen government pick on them from time to time. I mean, they're taking the same position our founding fathers did. They want some self-determination, and they don't want the state or the federal government telling them they can't have guns.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm proud of that, man. That is huge. And you, the reason I asked you that question, listener, I want you to kind of hear me on this one. Walk with me here. This isn't about politics. While there's one particular party that is coming after our guns as a part of their platform, what we just heard Alan talk about in the Navajo Reservation is, in fact, proof positive that this is not about politics. This is about our individual God-given right to defend ourselves, our nation, in this case, the Navajo Nation, and the federal government from a tyrannical government. It's wonderful, Alan, to see that. Now, let's go to Bloomberg, who poses the biggest threat to our right to bear arms. Did I overstate that?
No, he's by far the biggest threat. You know, when you have a billion-round wallet, so to speak, that you can aim and shoot at us and our rights, it surely is the biggest threat. I mean, Bloomberg is doing everything he can to complete his leveraged buyout of the Second Amendment and our Second Amendment rights.
Right now, on Real Clear Politics, I hate polls. I hate them. And if you want proof, listener, why I hate polls, who's your president? That answers your question. I don't believe there's anything scientific about asking 600 people a question and then telling me that that is somehow reflective of 320 million people. I don't buy it. I never will. And if to prove me right, who's your president? I'll leave it at that. Having said that, though, the Real Clear Politics average, Alan, relative to the Democrat candidate. So this might have a little bit more stock, a little bit more weight. Bloomberg is now at about 14% in third or fourth, depending on where you look at this. That should scare everybody, should it not?
It should, particularly since Bloomberg is only spending his money in strategic states. And so if it's 14% nationally in polling data, it's significantly higher in the states where he's spending his money, maybe lower in states where he's not spending his money yet. But in the Super Tuesday states, that's where he's
right,
spending a significant amount of his cash. It's having an impact. It's also, he now has close to 2,000 paid employees on his campaign staff. And what scares me is he's also said that those 2,000 people are guaranteed employment through November for the election cycle. So if for some reason he doesn't get the nomination or he drops out, they're still employed. Well, if they're still employed, what are they going to be doing? I know what they're going to be doing. They're going to be working against our gun rights in all 50 states.
Okay, that's a great point. You're right. There are 2,100 plus 2,100 that number is up to now. It's growing every single day. Now, he pays them well. He's not paying them chump change, and they will certainly stay with him. But, you know, I didn't even think about that. I did not know that. Didn't even think about asking that if he's planning on keeping them employed through November. Well, what he's going to do is he's going to shift them over to his anti-gun movement, correct?
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
Okay.
If he's paying him, he's going to have them work. And what's his premier issue he's going after? Our guns.
All right. So in a state like Georgia, where I am seeing his spots on a regular basis, he's all over just about every television channel. I don't know how many millions he's spending in this state. What it is racking up to across the country is just, I'm just going to say it's ginormous. It has to be. But he's spending hundreds of millions of dollars. Is his gun control message getting through?
Well, I don't know how well it's getting through, but there's no doubt when people constantly barraged with anti-gun messages, some of it sticks on public opinion polling. And in the states where he's running his commercials in checking, polling, on issues, it's having an impact against our rights no matter what. Yes, that's true.
All right. So listen, to what we've got to do is pay very careful attention to this stuff. I know it's hard to watch those spots. Alan, I recommend watching them and keeping an eye on them because it generates enthusiasm for our base. I'm talking about from the pro-gun side. When we see this, if we ignore it, boy, we're doing ourselves damage. Ignoring it is living in denial, and denial, as we all know, can get you killed. In this case, metaphorically speaking, we don't need to get killed in this election. Alan, I've got about 45 seconds. Tell listeners what we need to do from Alan Gottlieb. We've already talked about that 1 hour a day. Anything else you want to throw at us before we close out this hour?
Yeah, I'm just going to go back to that 1 hour a day. Spending 1 hour a day, you know, getting social media, writing letters to editors, calling in to radio talk shows, writing in legislators, getting involved in candidates' campaigns. Those are the important things to do. And you need to have information to bolster what you're doing. So go to saf.org. There's a ton of information there to help you out. Or go to keepandbeararms.com, where you'll get all a daily update aggregated of all the news with guns going on across the whole country.
You certainly will. Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation, thank you for everything you do. You've been listening to the Armed American Radio Network. I'm going to be back in the next hour with another one. Go ahead and take a break, and then don't turn the dial. Back after this.
You've just filled your prescription for freedom on Armed American Radio with Mark Walters, the loudest voice in America fighting for gun rights.